It seems that at most every turn, we're being reminded of something, such as the beeping noise in our vehicle that reminds us to buckle our seatbelt, or those ever-appearing signs along the highway that remind us of the posted speed limit. Or even as when we were children, we were reminded to pick up our toys. Or on our jobs, there are a number of skills and routines which must be learned or performed in particular ways to be successful. And some of those may be difficult, yet once when they're learned and placed in proper sequence, everything works out well. Being reminded, that happens for all of us. Please stay with us following worship for more on some very important reminders.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's be standing for our first song, please. And while we're singing this song and during the welcome, you're going to be receiving a handout for the lesson this morning. Lay your burden down. Good morning and welcome to all of you. We have a fantastic crowd this morning. It is good to be together, and we are blessed because we are in the presence of God. We do believe that He is here in this place and that we are blessed to live lives constantly in His presence. Isn't that a great blessing? If you're visiting with us this morning, we want to welcome you. We're so glad that you've come our way. My hope for you this morning is that you will be encouraged and even in some good ways challenged as we worship together, as we study together and share in communion and do all that we get to do here in this place. So we're so very glad that you're here. I have a question for you this morning. How are you doing on your New Year's resolutions? Great. All right, we've got one guy that's rolling. I want to talk to you after worship, okay? Because I haven't been to the YMCA yet this year. All right, some are off to a great start. Some are not, maybe. Who knows, right? How are you doing with your New Year's resolutions? It's January the 8th. We're 8 days in. And so that forces us to ask some questions. One of my hopes for this church, one of the things that I believe in so strongly, one of my hopes is that in this year, in 2023, that we would be a church that prays like we have never prayed before. Wouldn't that be a great thing? I want you to do me a favor, okay? Just go with me. I won't take long here. Look to your left and look to your right and think about just for a moment, who do you need to be praying for here in this place? what is going on right now with people around you. We were talking about compassion this morning in our Bible class, and we said that one of the things that must occur to have the kind of assertive compassion that Jesus had was that, number one, we've got to notice, right? We've got to notice what is going on around us. And so I want to ask you that question: what is going on around you, right there close to you in your pew? Who do you need to be praying for? What do we need to be praying about as a church as we continue into 2023? And so one of my hopes and desires that is for this church is that we would resolve to pray more than ever. And the follow-up question to that is, what about outside this building? Who do you need to be praying for? What are those situations in life that we need to be praying about? And so as we continue to kick off 2023 and think about our New Year's resolutions, may we pray more than ever. May we resolve as a church to do that incredible work for which there is no substitute. As we move forward this morning, I want to share with you from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Dan, come lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you as our God and Creator, thanking you for all that you give us. We pray that you continue to watch over us and keep us safe and healthy. Father, thank you for the privilege to come together to worship you. And we pray that we come closer to each other as we worship. Please fill us with your Spirit and help us to love you more. Thank you for loving us so much. Father, as we enter into a new year, we pray that we will be committed to lift up Jesus to those around us. We're thankful for our missionaries and their commitment to work to spread your kingdom. Please be with them and keep them safe. We're thankful for our country. Please be with our leaders and help them to look to you and your truth for guidance. Thank you for your family of believers at this place, and help us to grow in spirit and in number. Help us to pray for each other. Please be with us as we continue to worship, and let our worship be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to ask you to stand for this song and for the unison reading to follow, please. Ladies' voices.
There's a stirring deep within me.
Could it be my time has come?
When
today is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and I'll ask you to read along with me, please. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And be seated, please. After the next two songs, Jim Brown's going to come direct our minds and thoughts in the Lord's Supper. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee.
We considered just now the finished and completed work of redemption provided to us by the Son of God, accomplished not by anything that we have done or might do, but accomplished in full by the willing self-sacrifice of our Savior. You know, it's a sobering thing when a human being understands and acknowledges, "It is my sin that took Jesus to the cross." It is equally sobering when you come to understand and to acknowledge the great love, the infinite love in the heart of God, as John writes about in the text that we're about to read, that would allow that to happen on our behalf. So listen carefully to John chapter 3, 13 through 21. "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You this morning, as we thank You every day, for the gift of redemption, for the fact that in Your infinite mercy and love and grace, that You have saved us from ourselves. And Father, as John writes, we thank You for the gift of Your unique and one-of-a-kind Son, who came and bore flesh, who paid the penalty of our sin, and who promised us life eternal with You. And Father, now as we partake of this bread, may we think about that sacrifice, and may we be so very grateful. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's pray again. Father, we understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Father, we also understand that when this priest offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, that he sat down at the right hand of Your throne. We thank You for the shedding of His blood. We thank You, Father, for the forgiveness of our sin. And as we partake, Father, we do so honoring the One who has redeemed us. And we pray in His name. Amen.
I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I am washed with blood. I am mine no more. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And He rules. Jesus is.
New Year's resolutions. Well, hopefully you're doing well on yours. Some of us are, some of us aren't. I was talking to Clark the other day. Clark's dropped about 25 pounds. I'm afraid he's given those 25 pounds to me this year, you know, so maybe I've got to get going on that. Resolutions require pre-planning, sitting down trying to figure out what it is that you're going to do. That's something that some of us are good about planning ahead, and some of us are, well, we kind of just react to the moment. We've changed the way through the pandemic and carried on the way that we have our giving options. We have got up on the screen behind us options where we can do things electronically nowadays, which is, boy, I resisted that for so long because Rita and I talked. We said, you know, if people don't see me drop a check in the basket that goes by, they're going to think I'm not giving anything. Well, we fixed that. We're not passing baskets anymore, okay? So we've done that. And, boy, it works great for us. Many of y'all have taken advantage of that. When you are gone on a trip, you know something? Your contribution gets in the plate anyway. God has asked us to give. He hasn't told us how much. He basically has said, give as you've been prospered. Now, I don't know about y'all. Last year, inflation hit most of us pretty hard, okay? Now, hopefully, you've got some adjustments to your salaries right there. But if you're doing things electronically, you know what happens? The same thing just keeps coming out. So you know what I did this weekend? I sat down, and I went in there and tried to figure things out, and sometimes it's pretty easy. Maybe it's not. If you got any questions, give Joanne, give the office a call. They can help you walk through that. But we've got many ways in which we can participate in our giving. The church's work goes on no matter what. We've added about, I think, 10% to our missions budget this year. There's a lot of things that they're more expensive. We're taking care of those who are doing the work, and our work keeps going on. We appreciate the way this congregation has responded. You give out of the love of your hearts. You give out of your generosity. We appreciate that, and I know that God does. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for the many ways in which you bless us, both with our physical gifts, through our relationships, through our family here at church, through our work. Father, there's just untold ways in which you take care of us. And as a people, Father, we need to realize that we need to give you all the credit for that. This is not of our own doing, but the way in which you've reached down and blessed us. And Father, we're so grateful for the way that you do that. We pray, Father, that we will have bountiful, generous hearts, that we will look to you and realize that everything comes from a gracious God. Everything comes from a God that is awesome. And Father, we will do our best to try to show you our appreciation and to make sure that your word is spread, make sure that we are a light to those that need your word so desperately, to those that need help in many ways, Father. We pray that you'll be with us, be with all of our ministers here, be with our individuals that work in the various programs to get your word out for our benevolence, and we're grateful for the many ways and opportunities that we have to serve you. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care.
I'm The scripture reading is John chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. Yeah, I'm reading it now. It's Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord forever." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
It's now time for our children to go to the Sunshine class. If you're visiting with us and have a child ages 2 through the 2nd grade, if you'll get them to this double door over here, they'll be taken to the class. Let's stand as we sing the song, and Scott will come preach to us after this song. Come and see the sunshine, come and see the sunshine, the sunshine.
Well, good morning, church, and happy new year. It's great to be with you. Hopefully you picked up one of these. It's a handout that goes with the message today. I really love for you to take a few notes on this one, because it's really important for us as we're looking at a new year to be thinking not just individually about what are our new year's resolutions, but to realize that corporately we have some resolutions to make because we are responsible to one another. And we're beginning a series today with this message that will continue over the next few weeks on one another passages in the New Testament. Because one of the things that happened after COVID is that we forgot the responsibility that we have to one another. We've become so isolated that we have forgotten that we have been challenged to live in community together, that we have a responsibility to each other, that we all have to come for the singing to sound good, that we all have to show up for class for there to be participation, that we all have to serve in order for the church's work to get done. And this morning we want to begin by talking about what are the core essentials that we as a church have agreed upon are foundational for us. And so I wanted us to look back for just a moment and remind ourselves of this wonderful passage. Hopefully, Mike, this one will be helpful for you as you start thinking about looking forward. We forget what lies behind, and we strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call that we have in Jesus Christ. So as you look back, we get to forget what lies behind. The wonderful thing about grace, and Jim did such a good job of talking to us about that this morning at the table, is that it reminds us that we can leave the past in the past. But as we look towards the future, let's look at it with the wonderful opportunity that it has for us to grow more into the image of Jesus. And so as you start thinking about this year, and quite frankly, this is kind of the first Sunday of the year that we've all been together, and we can think about this year together. And one of the things we might be hoping for this year is that things will, quote, get more back to normal. Are you hoping for that this year? Maybe a little bit more back to normal? Well, I wanted to just remind you that we should stop wishing that things would just get back to normal. What if we wished for this instead? What if we wished, as we look towards the future, for more of God in my life? That's what I want more than anything else, is I want more of God in my life this coming year. And if I have to change some things about me in order for there to be more of God in my life, then I'm willing to do that. Because I want more of God. What happened at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 is that 3,000 people experienced more of God in their life. The Holy Spirit was poured out and they were baptized into Christ and they received the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. And it was fascinating that they had the Spirit of God within them, but yet at the same time, they had a desire for even more of God and a desire to pursue even more of God. And so right after Pentecost, it tells us that they continued devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. These that were filled with God wanted more of God, and they knew there were some practices that would help them to get there. And so we as a church have talked about six essentials that we feel like allow us corporately to experience more of God, to grow in God, to become more like Christ through the lives that we live. And so this morning I want to talk to you for just a moment about our six essentials and the five expectations we have of each other as a congregation here at Green Hills. And this is where the handout comes in. And I won't be obnoxious in telling you where to fill in the blanks. You'll just pay attention as I move along, and we'll work through this together. And if you're one of those that won't be able to sleep at night, I think that there might be answers to all the blanks at the end. But if not, come see me afterwards, and I'll help you out, okay? Essential number one is that we've got to love God. Everything starts with a love for God. Whatever our New Year's resolutions are this year, if it's not to grow in our love for God, we need to tear up our list and start over again. Just tear up your list and start all over again, because if growing in your love for God is not on your New Year's resolutions, you need to rethink your New Year's resolutions. Deuteronomy 6, it's the most important passage to Jews in all of the Old Testament, in all of their scripture. They recite it every time they go to synagogue. Can you imagine if we picked the same unison passage and we read it every Sunday for all 52 Sundays? That's what they do. And this is the passage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them. Isn't that how you impress something? Impress them on your children. Talk about them as you sit at home and walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Love God with every fiber of your being. Make it the passion of your year to experience more of God in 23. Heart, soul, strength. It's just Moses' way of saying you need to love God with all of your affection. Don't be afraid to love God. Don't be afraid to say you love God. Matter of fact, turn to the person next to you and tell them, I love God. I love God. I think for some of us, we don't say that often enough. But David, as the great psalmist, that was constantly on his lips. I love God. I love what God has done for me. I love God. But I also want to know God better, because my soul is the seat of my mind and my will, my emotions. And I want those to be given over to God. And then also my strength is my energy and my passion. All of who I am, I want to be given to God. This is a Jewish man, and he's putting what's called a mezuzah on the door frame of his house. And what's interesting is that a Jewish man will place one of these on the door frame of the house, and then they put Deuteronomy 6 inside of it. So that every time they walk through the door into the house, they put their hand on that and they remind themselves, I'm committed to love God with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, and I am to impress God upon my children. And that becomes important for them as they're living their life. And here's why. Look what it says two chapters later in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. It says, watch out, because when you have eaten and are satisfied, you should praise the Lord for the good land he has given you. And look at this part. And you should be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commandments, his laws, and his decrees. Moses said, you know what's going to become easy in a promised land where you've got wells you didn't dig and olive trees you didn't plant and cisterns that you didn't have to dig? It's going to be easy for you to forget God. And so you've got to constantly be bringing God up and loving God with all of the fiber of your being. Put God first. Second, essential number two is to lift up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. Jesus says in John chapter 8, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing by my own, but speak what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I do what pleases him. And then in chapter 12, it says, and when I am lifted up from the earth, Jesus says, I will draw all people to myself. We as a church are committed to be the church of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. Amen. He is the one that we lift up. He is the one that we all brag about. He is the one in which we boast. He is the one in which we find purpose and meaning. And so everything we do is about lifting up Jesus. You know, one of the things people will ask about you is, what do others find attractive about you? And Julio will say, it's my beautiful hair. No? Some of the rest of us, you know, we've got a feature that we're really proud of. But can I tell you what's the most attractive thing you have to offer? It's Jesus being seen through you. And when you meet somebody who Jesus is being seen through them, and Julio, that counts for you. When you see Jesus in somebody, that's the most attractive thing they have to offer. And that's what happens when we begin to lift Jesus up. When we want him to be seen through us, other people begin to value that. And so we love God and we lift up Jesus. He gets credit in what we do. He's the one in which we boast. And then third, we listen to the Holy Spirit. This one's hard because it means slowing down. It means praying. It means reading God's word. But we listen to the Spirit. What we know about Jesus is that he was consumed with the Spirit of God. At Jesus' baptism, what it tells us is that he came up out of the water, and as he was praying, Luke says, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in bodily form as a dove. And all the power of the Spirit resides in Jesus Christ. And with that Spirit, he goes out into the wilderness in chapter 4. Full of the Spirit, he goes out, and there for 40 days is tempted, and he overcomes temptation by the power of the Spirit in his life. The Spirit is what guards us, guides us, directs us. It is our counselor, our comforter, and our keeper. And so we listen to the Spirit, to the promptings of the Spirit in our life. But that means we have to be in tune with the Spirit of God. This doesn't happen if we're constantly filling our mind with everything but the scriptures of God, the worship of God. We've got to listen to God. Jesus begins his ministry in Nazareth. And this is his inauguration speech. And what he does is he's handed the scroll of Isaiah and he thumbs past so many passages that we might think he'd stop at. Chapter 7, chapter 9, chapter 11, even Isaiah 53. And he rolls his way to chapter 61 and he reads these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he put the scroll down and he said, everything Isaiah wrote 700 years ago is being fulfilled today. And through that same Spirit, we are called to pray and to listen and to follow the will of God. And so we've got to decide that we're going to love God, we're going to lift up Jesus, and we're going to find time to pray. I loved what Jeff said this morning. Find time to pray so that we can listen to the Spirit of God, the prompting and the guidance and the counsel of God. If you don't know what prayer to pray, maybe this is the one you could start with this year. It's one of my favorites. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. Let me pray it over us today. For this reason, we bow our knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And we pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant us to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner being, so that we might experience Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength together to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in this church and in Christ Jesus for every generation, forever and ever. Amen. But we've got to be people who are praying and asking God to fill us with his Spirit, that we might listen to the Spirit and grow in the counsel of God. Essential number four, we kind of shift from God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we begin to look outwardly at our essentials. And the first one is to love people. We've got to love people. You might remember there was a time when an expert in the law came up to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus turned the question on him. Well, what does the Bible say? And he said, well, the Bible says that you should love God with your heart, soul, mind, and your strength. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, well, it sounds to me like you know exactly what you ought to do. Go do it and you'll be living. And so the guy then asked him, well, who is my neighbor? Whenever you ask the question, who is my neighbor, you know what you're really asking? Who's not my neighbor? Who's not my neighbor? Where can I draw a line? Who can I say is not part of us? Who do I not need to care about? Where can I not get involved? And so Jesus told a story, and you know it well, about a man who was traveling along a road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and he was beaten up and robbed and stripped of all of his clothes, and he's lying there on the ground, and he can't talk, and he doesn't have any clothes, and so you don't know if he's one of you or not one of you. You can't tell anything about him except that he's a generic person in need. And Jesus then says, and a priest walked by and found a good reason not to help. And a Levite walked by and found a really good reason not to help.
And then an outsider, a half-breed, a Samaritan, walked by and thought, how could I not help this person? And stopped and got down off of his donkey and cared for the person's needs and took him to an inn. And Jesus said, which one was the neighbor to the person in need? And the answer was, the one who cared enough to help. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. In 2023, as we love people, we're going to discover people who need us to love them. God's going to bring across our path people that need to be loved. Some of us will bump into them at school, others at work, others in our community. But when we see a generic person in need, the Spirit is going to prompt us to do something. Jesus goes on to say, hey, live by this rule. And you know it well. He says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek to them. If somebody takes your coat, give them your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. And then here are the magic words. Do to others as you would have them do to you. You see, the bronze rule is do to others before they do it to you. The silver rule is don't do to others what you don't want done to yourself. That's what we teach in school, by the way, is don't do to others what you don't want done to you. But Jesus says the golden rule is for you to do for others what you wish they would do for you. That's what it looks like to love people. The next thing, well, I keep coming back to this, so let me just add it one more time. This church, when people ask me, tell me about the Green Hills Church, they often say, tell me about the Granny White Church. And I say, the Granny White Church is the church that changed its name 3 years ago or 4 years ago or whenever it was, to the Church of Christ at Green Hills. And I say, what you need to know about this church is that there's more love per square inch at this church than anywhere I've ever been. That's our secret sauce. That's what makes us special. Is that people may look at us and go, huh, they're a little bit this or a little bit that or a little bit, but I've never been loved like I have at that place. And so we need to understand that the thing that God has given us is this great capacity to love people. Jesus will say in John chapter 13, all people will know you're my disciples by the way that you love. Number five, leave a legacy. Dorcas, which means gazelle in Hebrew, was this woman who died. And look what happened at her funeral. When Peter arrived, all the widows stood around crying and showing the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Dorcas lived her life not as much for success as for significance. She lived a life that lasted and left a legacy after she was gone. And we need to ask ourselves, what is it that we can do that leaves a legacy of faith and of blessing on other people? Jesus will say, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. How many of you have been robbed in here? You ever had anybody break into your house? You know exactly what Jesus is saying here, right? It's about treasures in heaven that matter. Where moth and rust can't destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal. Because where your treasure is, your heart will follow. And so we need to be people who value what we can actually invest in other people. to leave a legacy by being a blessing to others. Because all of this stuff will not last. And so we use this stuff to be a blessing to others. And then last, lead others into discipleship. Notice what Jesus said when he called his first disciples. It's very simple. He said, come, follow me, and then here's what I will do. In transforming you, I will send you out to fish for people. How many of us have come? How many of us are following Jesus? How many of us are ready in 2023 for him to send us out to fish for people? To realize that God has somebody that he wants you to meet this year. To lift up Jesus in the presence of. To draw them into the fold of Jesus Christ. There's never been a time in the history of our country when we were less churched than we are right now. And there are so many people whose religious affection right now is N-O-N-E, none. And they are a willing possibility for you in lifting up Jesus to draw them into discipleship, that they might follow Jesus as well. Paul said it this way. He said, the things that you have heard in the presence of many witnesses, you're to entrust to others who will entrust to others who will entrust to others. This gift that's been given to you doesn't end with you. You're supposed to pass it on to someone else as well. And so what we discover about Pentecost is that those who were filled with the Spirit of God wanted more of God. And so there were certain practices that became important to their lives because they knew that these practices, these disciplines, would result in more of God in them. And so this morning, I wanted to close by just reminding you that we've got five things that we've been trying to say as a church. These are important for us in allowing God to become more for us. And the first one is that we gather together to worship God wholeheartedly. We praise God as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And we've got to gather together and we've got to worship. And there's a name for that. It's called corporate worship. It's the idea that we can't just worship God on Zoom. That we have to come back together. Now, some of us are sick and some of us are being careful, but we need to at some point acknowledge the fact that Zoom and being together are not the same thing. I mean, I've basically given up Zoom meetings. People try to get me into a Zoom meeting and I'm like, really? Is there no other way? Because I just feel so lost in these and I'm so tired of them and I multitask in every one of them. So we need to come together. I want to give you a visual of what it's like when we come together to worship. Here it is. The flame of the Holy Spirit of God and each other warms me, warms my heart. That's why it's important for us to be in corporate worship. It's important to have our children in corporate worship. Because what happens if you've ever been around a fire is that when you pull coals out of the fire, and you leave them out of the fire for too long, they lose their heat. They lose their heat. And that's why it's important for us as a community to be committed to worshiping God wholeheartedly. Number two, we are committed to the Word of God. It is the truth that sets men and women free. And there's no substitute for the Word of God. So we want everybody in a Bible study. It can be on Sunday morning. It can be on Wednesday night. It can be in your community. It can be Bible study fellowship. We're not trying to run the world's Bible studies, but we need you in a Bible study. You need to be growing in God's Word. There's women's studies We've got things all through the week that are opportunities, but we've got to be people that are committed to the Word of God. And then we need to be committed to a ministry. There needs to be something that we're doing that serves other people. That is our way of giving back, because one of the things that we know is that we grow by service. We also know that Jesus says, or Mark says about Jesus, that Jesus came to serve and not to be served. He gave his life as a ransom and shows us by his example that we need to be people committed to serve. Now, have I told you the truth about going to the nursing home? Have I ever told you all that truth? Y'all are going to think less of me after I tell you this, okay? There's a nursing home that I try to go to fairly regularly. They call and invite me to come and be the speaker and do the service. And I got to tell you that I, on Sunday afternoon, never look forward to putting my church clothes back on and going over there to do that service. I know y'all think less of me for that. But can I tell you the other part of that story? I feel so blessed when I'm there and when I leave that I remind myself, oh yeah, no, this is great. This is what Kingdom of God is all about. And I want to remind us that sometimes serving might not look that appealing if you haven't been doing it. That's what inertia is this object that's been at rest, wants to stay at rest. But once you engage in serving, it really blesses you, as it blesses others. And I don't know, where's James? Where's Nathan? Y'all got any needs? You do? Yeah. If you're looking for a great place to start, if you want to make a transformational difference with your service, bless our children. Get involved. Number four, stewardship. To support the church's mission. This is your time, your talent, your treasure. But we all ask the question, what do I have to give? And how do I teach my children to be people who give and to give generously? Last, grow in discipleship. We want to be people who are in a small group. Some kind of group. It can be 2, 3, 4, 12. But there needs to be some little group that you're a part of, that you're growing together, that you're blessing each other, that you're praying for each other, that you're staying engaged in each other's lives. Jeff will be talking more about this in the weeks to come, but we've got to be people who are looking for smaller places where we can make a difference. Peter once said, I don't have gold, I don't have silver, but you know what I do have? I have Jesus Christ. So let me lift him up. My hope is that you will pray this year about where's the place where Jesus can be lifted up and you can make a kingdom difference. And if you're praying about this, God will reveal to you a place where you can make a difference. So here's what we expect of each other. We're counting on each other. People are preparing things with the idea that you'll be there. You're preparing things with the idea that others will be there. Parents are bringing their children to church with the idea that other children will be there. Youth are showing up at activities hoping that other youth are going to be there. We need each other. And that's why we ask each other to have these expectations of each other that allow us to live in community together. And the simple reason that we have these expectations is because we want to have more of God this year. So what is it that God is calling you to be and to do? And how can these things be a part of that? Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this reminder of the community that we are in the kingdom of God. And we pray that you'll help us to be the blessing that each other needs as we lift up Jesus Christ and love you more completely. And Lord, we pray through the power of your Spirit that we will have more of you in us this year as we strive to to make a difference in your world. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. And if you're subject to the call of Christ in any way, if you need us to bless you, pray for you, minister to you in any way, come to the front as we stand and sing this song together.
Nearer, still nearer, close. Scott, thanks for that great reminder. Looking forward to a wonderful 2023 together. My mother is left-handed. My sister is left-handed. Her son is left-handed. Her granddaughter is left-handed. And Scott Tillman is now left-handed. He's trying to become part of my family, but I did go visit with him yesterday. He's doing wonderfully. He's listening to us right now, I'm sure, so we want Scott to know. We hope he heals very quickly, able to be back with us very soon. Let's close this wonderful time together in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the reminder of what it means to be your children. And may we be dedicated to be a servant of this church and a servant of yours through this church in this place. We do pray for those that are out ill today, several that we know about personally, especially we pray for Scott Tillman to heal quickly from his recent surgery. Father, bless us as we leave this place to contemplate this message, to take this handout with us and look over it over the next week and find places where we can insert ourselves into the ministries of this church, into a class, into a life group, committing ourselves to be back for corporate worship. Father, bless us as we look to you for guidance in our lives. Through your holy scriptures, in your son's name we pray. Amen. And you're dismissed.
We all need them. Sometimes they're hard to accept or even unwelcome. However, they are necessary to make life better. What are these? Reminders. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today in worship. I'm Ronnie Ferris, an elder here at the Church of Christ in Green Hills. You always honor us with your presence. Reminders. I know of no one who escapes them. Some are good, others are helpful, but as a disciple of Jesus, God's Word is filled with them so we can live our best life before God, helping us to be better equipped for our daily living in Christ. And as we think about the beginning of a new calendar year, the Apostle Peter has some reminders for us as faithful followers of Jesus. He says, Jesus will keep his promise to return. We might ask, when will that be? When can we expect it? In 2 Peter 3, verse 8, he reminds us that the way you and I count time is not the same way that God counts time. He says that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. And then he adds, The Lord is not slow concerning his promise. We might think of the promise that he made to Abraham and to the generations that it took for that promise to be fulfilled. Then in verse 9, we're reminded that we should live lives of holiness and godliness because the Lord's return will be sudden. And while we wait for the Lord's return, we should live Christ-centered lives. We should be focusing on him and not on sin. And while we wait, he writes in verse 18, we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a continual, ongoing process. As ones who profess that Jesus is Lord, how are we choosing to live our lives in this new calendar year? Are things going to be status quo, business as usual? Or as disciples of Jesus, are we choosing to listen to the reminders that Peter gave us so that we can be our very best? Would you like to talk to someone who can help you refocus your life in Christ in 2023? Feel free to reach out to us at elders@cocgh.org. We'll be happy to speak with you. Yes, reminders like buckling our safety belt or using our turn signal or observing the posted speed limits and even picking up your toys are very important. However, those Christ-centered reminders such as Jesus' promise that he'll return, living lives of holiness and godliness, and continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, all of these will help us live not only today, but for eternity as well.